Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the H2P Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, here on DKPittsburghSports.com. Coming at you on a Sunday. Unfortunately, Pitt fans, not a victory Sunday. The Pitt Panthers suffered their biggest loss of the season, 75-48 at the hands of the Clemson Tigers. Man, that was a beatdown. And a beatdown in the worst way. Because this wasn't just, oh, you know what? John Hughley got in foul trouble, and, you know, Gee got in foul trouble, though he did get in foul trouble. But it wasn't like, you know, like all the injuries piled up, or, you know, it just wasn't their day shooting, you know, things like that. No, Clemson did the thing that discourages you from hoping that Pitt can, like, actually compete in the coming ACC games. Because here's the thing. And as I wrote in my game story, which is on DKPittsburghSports.com, go to the website to read all the happenings of the game. I'm not going to go over all the minutiae here. But the problem with Pitt is if they can't get their bread and butter to work, which is defense and feed John Hughley down low, they're in a lot of trouble. And not in a lot of trouble like, oh, it's just going to take one thing to work. It's going to take multiple people to step outside of themselves and be people who, be players who they have not been in their careers to save the Panthers. To make games even competitive. That's the problem that Pitt ran into a buzzsaw with Clemson. John Hughley ran up against a guy in PJ Hall. Another sophomore forward for Clemson. He's used to banging down low. He's used to being physical. And I saw John Hughley forced out of the paint. He took 9 jumpers to 3 layups on the night. That's a problem. That's a big problem. He has to be able to establish some presence in the paint for Pitt to run its offense. Pitt's entire offense. I mean, I like Femi Odekale as a fighter. I think that he's developing. I think that he could become something cool for Pitt. Jamarius Burton is a fine veteran leader. I think he's a good warrior. He puts in the effort each game. But the problem that Pitt runs into is that it doesn't have the scorers to build. And we knew that all season. With Ifeal Horton, by the way, his real preliminary hearing actually happens on the 26th this week. We'll get updates on that situation then. But when you look at Pitt's problems right now, and you see that it's not just that they don't have outside shooters; they don't have guys who can consistently drive off the ball, get inside and score on their own. And when John Hughley's taken away, he can't even help create that, because what his presence did was, if he was in the paint, teams were going to double down on him. If teams doubled down on him, then guess what? The paint was going to have to open up, or someone was going to have to crash, and then he'd kick it to that person, and then they'd get the bucket. Or if no one crashed, there'd be an outside shot that's open, and then you're like, okay, well, you know, let's see if this guy hits this open shot. None of that happened in this game. And it really looked like Pitt had no answers. They were just settling for jump shots. This was as close to Kevin Stallings' ball as I've seen a Jeff Capel's team play. Settling for outside shots, not looking like they had a plan of attack. Because even in Jeff's worst losses, there was at least a plan of attack. Even if the plan of attack used to be in the past couple years, Xavier Johnson, take on that triple team. We all remember those days. By the way, Xavier Johnson looking fine in Indiana right now. I look at the problems with this game, and they speak loudly to what's coming for Pitt. Because in these next games, Pitt ain't getting no break. They got to face Syracuse again Tuesday, who was one of their worst losses before this game. They will get time to rebound. They get to play Boston College, a team that they've beaten. Wake Forest, I think they can take. Virginia Tech, who also isn't a good team. They'll play Virginia Tech back-to-back games. So if they can play an inspired game against Syracuse, if they can pull off the upset there, there's a period of four games there where maybe they can put something together. Maybe they can be competitive. Though Wake Forest is 5-3 in the conference, I guess that is a tougher game. But still, 3 out of 4 of those games, teams that you can bang with. But then you're going to get into a stretch of this season where you're playing Florida State, North Carolina, Miami, Duke, Notre Dame. Those are the ACC teams that are running it right now, especially Miami. You know about Duke, you know about North Carolina. Florida State playing hard. NC State might be one that they can also sneak in. But the point is, the composure of this team is going to get tested. And as I wrote in my story, this could be the sign of what unglues this team. Because even though they have a losing record, they're what? 7-12, 2-6 in the conference. Even with that losing record, I think any Pitt fan who watched the stretch of games between, I'd say, like mid-December till up into the past two games, Virginia and Clemson. Anyone who looked at those games, you said, hey, you know what? Even when they lose, they're fighting. There's effort. There's focus. This team is trying. They had several one-possession losses. There's something building there. There's hope that in the coming years, Jeff Capel can take whatever this is, take the young players who are there, build a culture, and if they can win a couple recruiting battles, they can be a competitive team in the coming seasons. But they'll have to finish this season strong by continuing to show that fortitude. They did not show that fortitude in this game, and that's my problem for Pitt right now. Is that if you get through all those games, and it can be tough. Like I said, that stretch of four games, Boston College, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech twice. You got some shots there. But if you get down to those games against Florida State, North Carolina, Miami, Duke, and Notre Dame, and you're getting smoked, it's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough on a young team to keep taking it like that. And just taking it and taking it and taking it. Would spare Pitt earlier this season when they were just taking it, because they were at one point. They lost to Vanderbilt, UMBC, Minnesota, and Virginia on 4 in a row. Was that they had other wins. They were able to beat UNC Wilmington. They were able to beat Towson. They were able to bounce back and beat St. John's with a nice win in the Garden. You know, they had things they could hold on to. And some of those losses were really close ones. But when you look at that stretch of game, you're not going to get as many of those opportunities in the final weeks. And for Jeff Capel, as I've said much of this season, just like I told Pittsburgh Pirates fans before the start of the last season, this year ain't about this year. This year is about next year and the year after. this year is about Jeff Capel setting a tone so that when John Hughley, Femi Udukale, Noah Collier, William Jeffress, maybe Ithiel Horton, Nate Santos, all those guys, when they come back next year, and maybe they get some transfer portal guys, maybe they get some young guys to join to that they've recruited late in the game, maybe things are a little bit different and they're heading in a different direction. That's, I think, the big picture here for Pitt basketball. But they cannot afford to go on a bad, bad losing streak where that lesson gets lost. Be right back right here on the H2B podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter. Stick with us. We got more to talk Pitt hoops.
Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Back here on the H2B podcast, I'm your host, Chris Carter. We're here on Sunday. I just got done giving you like the big picture on Jeff Capel and Pitt and what they got to do to make things work. And, you know, it's at a point where we know what the season is. But I want to get into some minutiae here that I didn't necessarily get too much into in this game because this game had other things to talk about. But one thing that I think needs to happen is they need a guard, preferably Femi Udukale, because this is his second year, and I think he has to be part of whatever success story Jeff Capel builds if he's going to do that at Pitt. We need to see Femi Udukale start to become a floor general. There's two things that I think need to come about for the future of Pitt basketball. And either they're going to involve finding other players in the future who do these things, or find guys who on the roster who become these people in the future. Now, this is also with the assumption that maybe Ithiel Horton comes back and his situation clears up and he gets another chance to play next year. There's that too. But again, the core of this team, as I've maintained, if you've been listening to the H2B podcast since way back in, at the end of last season in March, I was saying way back then, the deal here is for Jeff Capel, if he's going to get fired, it's going to be after this sophomore class is worked out. If this sophomore class don't turn into nothing, then I think that's it. And by that time, his contract will run out, I think, too, and that'll be the last straw. But we see talent there. John Hughley, definitely a talented guy. Femi Udukale, he has there's things there. There's shreds there that you're like, okay, if he could put this together, if he could put that together, if he could do this, if he could do this, there's something there. You're seeing progress from Noah Collier, even though if he's trucking people on offensive fouls, like he's a fullback, and I don't understand how physical he thinks he needs to be to simply set a screen. But who am I to talk? I once trucked Jeremy Fowler in a pickup basketball game. Long story. Anyways, I'll tell that story someday. But when looking at Pitt basketball, there's two guys that I think truly need to step up for the future of it. And you know who they are. It's Femi Udukale. And I think Femi's stepping up, but he has to continue to grow. but especially William Jeffress. And I tweeted this out in the game because there was a really good sequence where William Jeffress got two offensive rebounds. Like, he exploded from the outside of the key and got in a rebound, put up a shot, missed it, got up and got the other rebound, kicked it out, and Pitt still ended up blowing the possession. But you saw, like, those moments. There's those moments where he's, like, hustling and fighting and scraping, and you're like, man, there's something there with that kid. He has defense. He is rebounding. But he just has no offense. He has to find something on offense. And I get that he's a kid. I get that he's 18 right now. But, and I also get that he technically still has 3 more years of eligibility left. So, I mean, he could definitely develop that in the coming years. But Jeff's got to get something out of that guy. He has to be a deep shot. The ability to drive and cross people over and create your own opportunities in the paint. To create just a mid-range shot. Create yours, be a factor in the offense that spreads the floor. This was the problem that Pitt ran into with Clemson. When they took away Hughley, there was not one thing that Pitt could do to say, hey, if you take away Hughley, we're going to do this. That's what Clemson dared him to do. And there was no one else that could. Jamarius Burton, he can create some mid-range jumpers. He could do that on occasion. But that can't be your sole thing. Muhammadu Gueye has developed to be somewhat of a three-point shooter. And he's another hustle guy. He had 5 blocks in this game, by the way. That was ridiculous. But he's not a consistent scorer. They need somebody who's going to change games like that. They need some guy who can make those plays. And he doesn't need. I'm not saying that William Jeffress needs to average 20 points a game, but I'm saying, you know, give him 8-10 points. Give him time. You know, average that so that you can come in games and that you can be a presence on the court where the other team can say, okay, if we leave that guy ISO, he could take that guy to the hoop, or if we leave him open in the zone, he could hit the deep shot. You do that, and it forces defenses to space out more, and it gives opportunities to other guys. The same thing goes with Femi Odokale. Now, I will say this. Femi has the drive, and he's working on the shot. Like, you see him, he's far more along than William Jeffress is. He's also considerably older. But for me, for Femi, I feel like, and this may just be the Pitt guy in me. I grew up watching the Ben Howland and Jamie Dixon days. They need Femi to be the floor general. They need him, the guy that's going to be able to see and pass the ball and move the ball around and get things going. And maybe he's learning that from Jamarius Burton so he could do that in the next 2-3 years. Because he's another guy, actually, that technically has 3 years of eligibility on him. But he has. I think that's a huge piece that Pitt needs for the basketball team to continue to make real steps forward. You know, you think back to the best Ben Howland teams. Brandon Knight, true floor general, knew where everyone was, drove, ran the offense. When they had rhythm, they was a tough team to stop. And they played tough defense, but their best offense was with Brandon Knight, was getting people going, facilitating and getting and making moves on offense. They need him to be able to do that, and Femi does not do that yet. Again, he's a baby, still has time, but still. And then you even think about, LaVance Fields, the best team Jamie Dixon put together. Yes, Sam Young and DeJuan Blair were the beasts, but LaVance Fields was a floor general. Knew where guys were, passed the ball, hit the shots when he needed to. Wasn't a phenomenal superstar athlete, but was a great facilitator of the offense. They need that from Femi, just like they need the scoring to come from Will. Develop a post game. Have a deep shot. Get the handles to be a serious driving threat, a slasher, something. Those, to me, are the two biggest things that if Jeff Cable can pull those out of those guys individually, it will help with everything else that they're doing. Because as much as, yes, they do need to play better defense, they do need to communicate better, they do need to talk better, and Jeff makes that point a lot in his post-game interviews. And trust me, every time I ask him, and I ask him about the offense, he talks about the defense, and he's not wrong. They do need to play better on those defensive situations. But what often helps with defense is when you have scoring threats that can keep up the psyche of your team. Because when you're playing defense and you're not scoring, mentally it starts to get tougher on you. And then you start to think, man, like, you know, man, how many more times do we got to get stops on this end before we get it, before we can score on that end? Those are the things that I think that if Jeff Capel can pull out of those two guys specifically, Pitt's going to find something this year that they can use to next year. Because don't forget, while yes, Pitt has no 2022 recruits in the portal, not in the portal, in high school right now, they could go to the portal at the end of the season, which we know will be highly active, and go and grab guys. And again, they should have Ithiel Horton back next season. If not sooner, we'll see how that case plays out on the 26th. But again, I really think that this year, I've said all year long, it's not about this year, it's about next year. It's about the years after that. What is Jeff Capel set up? And I've talked about this before on the show as well. The biggest problem Jeff Capel, I think he had with the first crew that he brought in, that was a really good recruiting class of Trey McGowans and Xavier Johnson and Audis Toney. The problem was there was no one to put them in check. It was just Jared Wilson Frame. And so when they came in and they were scoring, everyone was looking at him like, well, this is our team. We run the show. And it was tough to rein those guys in when things didn't work and have someone to say, like, no, this is Pitt basketball. This is how you fight. We need you to play this style of defense, have this kind of composure. And you couldn't reel those guys in. And then when Justin Champagne came in and was better than all of them, it was tough to rein that all in. But with this crew, learning how to win these kind of tough ways, you could set that kind of a tone with John Hughley, with Femi Odekale, with Noah Collier, with William Jeffress, Nate Santos. All these young guys, they can set that tone. And then say that Marlon Barnes Jr. kid that's coming in 2 years, say he gets there and this team is learning to be competitive that way, there'll be someone to put the four-star kid in check. There'll be someone to say, hey, this is the way you got to play. And then you establish a better identity, and then you're actually playing more competitive basketball. And then maybe, you bring Pitt basketball back to relevance. But long before we get to that, that's a long way down the road. The building blocks got to start right here. And the two things I think that Pitt's got to do before anything else, on top of getting better on defense and communicating that, is get an offensive presence for William Jeffress and make sure that Femi develops into that floor general. We'll see. The first steps after such a bad loss is a Tuesday night game at the Pete against Syracuse. I will be there covering it for DKPittsburghSports.com. Be sure to check out the website. We'll have a lot on that when it happens and more on your Pitt Panthers football and basketball. This is an all basketball show. Sorry, I know Cignetti signed, but we had a long talk, like a 20-minute talk with Doran Dickerson on last week's episode about Cignetti. So I figured you guys were satiated with that. If you want to check that out, go check out last week's H2P podcast. It was a great talk with Doran Dickerson about why Pitt fans should be excited about Frank Cignetti Jr. Rejoining the program as the offensive coordinator. He was Pitt's offensive coordinator in 2009. Doran gave us a long talk about why Pitt fans should be excited about him. You can find that on our website and all of our free podcast platforms. Like you do anything else, Apple, Spotify, Google Podcasts, check us all out there. Thanks so much for tuning in to the H2P podcast here on DKPittsburghSports.com. I'm Chris Carter, your host. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Carter Critiques. We hope you all have a great weekend. Maybe you're enjoying some NFL playoff football out there. I know I will be talking at you guys very soon.